What's up, you guys?
What's up, Corey?
How's everyone doing?
That's a lot of books you got there.
Oh. Well, tonight I'm going to be talking a little bit about anxiety. And as Justin is adjusting the cord here, I'm going to just ask you guys a few questions. I know that this topic is a little sensitive and can be just heavy. So I want you guys to just bear with me, and I'm going to pray again, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit just lead tonight. And so, do you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are and how you care for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are not a God that's far off, but one that draws near to us, even in our deepest spaces and hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would speak tonight, and it wouldn't be my words, but it would be your words, Lord, that people remember tonight, Lord. Thank you for who you are, and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Sweet. So, the passage that we're going to be working through is Matthew 6:25-34. But before we go into that, I just want to kind of set the stage here. I think today in our generation, we have been overstimulized with information at the cost of relationship. And I believe that we've just been thrown so much things that we're supposed to look on or search up or expect from our own selves and from other people. And I think that as we go and unpack this passage, we can see how Jesus shows how he reveals truth and relies on it. And he also learns to trust and trust in God the Father. So this is the next graphic we've got. This is an interesting graphic. So I'll take a second for you guys to kind of look at it. But basically it says that all adults, 32%, so these people all experience anxiety. And then anyone from our age range, 18 and 24, still make that. 50%.
Don't brag about it.
50% of us experience anxiety as well.
Switch the mics.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing that.
It's right in front of you.
Oh.
There we go.
Great. Oh, much better.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. So, basically, this is an interesting statistic. Basically saying that our world is just racked by anxiety. And recently, thinking about these things, I actually have been turning to this book, which is a book by John Mark Comer. It's called Live No Lies. It's a fantastic book, great read, and it's easy to read. But I'm going to read a... Do it! Totally, man, it's worth it. I'm going to read just a quote from them, from John Mark Comer. And he's quoting this other guy. He says this. He said, the philosopher Charles Taylor, in his seminal work, A Secular Age, wrote about how the West has changed from a culture of authority, and he puts that in quotes, to a culture of authenticity. He also puts that in quotes. Meaning we used to live by what external authority structures, God, the Bible, tradition, and so on, would tell us to do. But now most modern Western people live from what their internal authentic self wants to be. So you might be asking, like, what does that really mean? I think what it's trying to say is beforehand, we used to work from a lot of what our parents told us, what maybe the good parts of society would tell us to live from, and we would trust in those things. We would find so much value in seeking out people of wisdom and telling us this is how we should live our life, because we could see from their life and from their fruits that they're something worth paying attention to. Now, I think we live in a different kind of society where whatever we do, it has to please us. So like popular phrases you might have heard are you do you, which is one of my most hated phrases, I think. Or you do you, or you know, be true to yourself, something like that. And
I really don't like those because it's making self as the ultimate authority. So before, we used to look to other people to tell us what to do. Now we're looking to ourselves, which puts a lot of pressure on us. And I don't know if we fully realize that.
So what I'm going to go into, my two points are truth and trust. And I think our culture and our enemy has attacked us in both of those areas.
Because what our culture has tried to push on us is pressure to define and make ourselves something valuable. But God already gives us value. And you guys can find out why.
So my question is, how does Jesus worry? Or see worry? He actually does worry. But how does Jesus see worry?
We're going to read,
I jumped ahead a little bit. So we're going to read the passage in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. So if you guys would turn to that. It's a passage about anxiety. So it's pretty timely. So Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says, "Therefore, I say to you, take no thought about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Who among you, by taking thought, can add a cubit to his stature? Why take thought about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither work, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is here and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you. Therefore, take no thought about tomorrow, for tomorrow would take thought about the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the trouble thereof."
I like to pause a little bit because this translation is a little different than my translation that's on the screen. And basically, it illustrates just how we have so much that we think we should worry about. There's so many different things. Like beforehand in this passage, Jesus is actually on the sermon, or he's on the mount. He's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, which is this huge teaching about how to live as a disciple of Christ. And beforehand, he just talks about money. And then he also talks about the body, and he also talks about treasures in heaven. And all those things are temporary. And so the Lord actually, through this passage, just teaches us more about how to not have anxiety over those things. And he shows how. So back to my question, how does Jesus see worry? Our life is valuable. If you notice in the passage, it talks about how even the dandelions, some translations have, they're dressed so beautifully. But the Lord cares for them. He sees as far deep as just a little flower. And how much more valuable are we than flowers? One of the things, too, is he says later on, it says, worrying can't solve anything. It's pretty cool. I thought that, like, you know, the think about things is really good. To be prepared is really awesome. I know Cable and, like, a ton of other people like to go backpacking or camping. Recently, I went camping as well, and we, like, had to prepare food pretty much for the trip on the way there. We went to Montana, which was really fun. And then we also had to prepare food on the way back. But those things, like, we had to think about. So I think in this passage, Jesus isn't saying not to think about things. He's saying don't worry about them too much. So
Later on, he says, God knows our need. I think it says, even to not really worry about what shall we eat. And it says the Gentiles even seek after all these things. And then it says in verse 32, it says, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And then he goes on to talk about how the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's what we should be actually looking towards. That's where our focus should be. But that's where Jesus is pointing the rest of his disciples to, is the focus isn't on just what our needs are, because God knows them. And that's hard to like say, but like to actually believe it, that's something that like all of us are learning how to. I'm no perfect person when it comes to handling money or handling any of those needs. And yet that's what we need to look towards, is we need to look to the Lord to actually give us the peace that and the trust that he shows. So one of the other things within how Jesus sees worry is he says to seek God's kingdom. You might be asking yourself, what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is found, it's a very quick verse, but Romans 14:17 shows that God's kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Those are really good things. And those are the things that like you don't find in buying the latest thing from your ad, or buying the clothing to look the way that you want to, or by yearning after a relationship even that you want to. Like that's, all those things, they can be found in the kingdom of God. And God has a way deeper and farther vision for that. So I'm going to read a little bit of commentary about worry. And this is from Matthew Henry. He says about this whole passage, he says that there is scarcely any sin against which our Lord Jesus warns more, or warns his disciples more than disquieting, distracting, distrustful cares about the things of this life. Fascinating, huh? Like, you think about all the teachings in the Bible, and you think, you know, I need to be doing all that. I need to be, like, performing so that I can continue to live under, like, God's good grace. But it's not that way. God actually provides us the peace and the stability that we need and that he made us for. But we don't get anywhere by worrying. Nowhere. So, moving on, I want to share a little bit of a story. So, I have a picture, but I think some of you actually went with me. We went tubing recently, and we went on the Poudre River. It was super fun. We went down in town, and yeah, here's a picture of all of us under the bridge. Yeah, but some of us, if you remember, we went around the bend, around Old Town, and eventually we thought there was going to be some dams that like would prevent us from like going further. And so, I don't know, some of us were concerned about like, okay, are we going to just like keep going and then fall off? And then I remember sitting there in the back and I was like, there's a sign that says we should get out now. Oh, it's going by. And then we saw another sign, you know, he just kept telling us that. And I was like, well, I'm kind of concerned, like, is this even legal? Like, what should we be thinking about here? Some of you may know, Caitlin was also there. And Caitlin carried with her a totally different mindset when we came into this obstacle when we were tubing. She walked in there having such a peace. And she did so because of the kingdom of God that was in, within her. She knew that, like, you know, she wanted to be adventurous, and she was, like, kind of prodding us along. I don't know if you guys remember, but, like, some of us were wanting to get out. Others were like, I don't know. And Kim was like, let's just try. Let's just do it. Let's try again. You know, something like that. And I thought it was super funny. But she worked out of that center of peace, knowing that the Lord actually has given her everything that she needs. And in a way, she's like, what's the worst that could happen? And she said, like, well, you just, I think that she had a perspective that she knew her identity, and she knew the truth of God, saying that she, like, God will provide wherever you go. And also knowing that she can trust him. And that, I think, is where I want to like sit on for a little bit. She had a relationship with Jesus and still has a relationship with Jesus that is so deep and saturated in peace. So I wanted to, let's see, turn to another passage. So this is earlier in Matthew, same gospel. Jesus is actually right at the point where he's going to begin his ministry. But before any of this happened, Jesus is affirmed by his Father. And you can check this out. In Matthew 3, 15 through 17, basically Jesus is saying that he wants to be baptized. So verse 15, he's telling John, he says, "But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he," John, "permitted Jesus," him. "And when Jesus was baptized, he came up immediately out of the water. And suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" I'll read that again because I love it. "And the voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, a lot of scholars think that voice was probably the Father's voice. We don't know. But Jesus is hearing from the Trinity here. He says that the Spirit of God was ascending like a dove. And then also he hears the voice from the Father. And Jesus is getting affirmed in his identity before his ministry started. And this is unique because he's holding on to those words as he goes into the next part of the passage. And the next part of the passage, if you read in Matthew 4, is when Jesus is being tempted. You guys know that like Jesus went through all the same things that we did and are still like going through. Jesus actually experienced all those things. And when he was being like completely tempted, he knew he needed to hear the Father's voice. And like I feel like that way all the time, where I'm thinking to myself, am I being effective? What am I doing here? Like, I obviously am not like pleasing these people and doing this thing, but I've noticed that if I tune out all of those voices and actually just listen to the Father's voice, everything else becomes way more clear. And it's because the Father's voice is who's we need to focus on most. Jesus held on to these words when he was tempted. He needed affirmation, and he knew the relationship that he had with his Father was the most important in this life. And so that's how Jesus showed the way of paying attention to what's most important. And that information that we're overloaded with, we're overloaded with a ton of junk. You can tell it on every social media app. But Jesus actually filled his mind with scripture. And he filled his mind with what the Father thought of him. One of the things that was also really cool is Jesus didn't bolt away from his troubles. He says later in the passage, going back to Matthew 6, he says that, "Therefore, take no thought about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought about the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the trouble thereof." I think a different translation is this one. It says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." So Jesus, at the end of the passage, after he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you," talking about all of the things that we worry about normally, he says, "Don't worry. All of these things will be given to you through the kingdom of God, through the provision that God has given us." And it's because we trust him. We have a relationship with him. And it's truthful that we, like, know that the information that we're receiving from God and his blessing is more important. This is interesting because we don't actually have to have any more worry over the future. And what Jesus was doing when I was pointing to Matthew 3 was he's talking about how he drew his worth and his worry all from that place of hearing the Father. He didn't do anything else outside of that. Further in the Bible, it actually talks a little bit about how God could, or Jesus could not do anything that his Father did not will. And Jesus paid attention to the Lord's voice, just simply that, and held on to that. And in this verse, he says that we won't have troubles. If you look at it, he says that there's enough trouble for today, which I could agree. And you could take it day by day, though. And so Jesus gives us a way of living in the midst of our troubles and in the midst of today. I think too often we can look ahead. Personally, I can look ahead to the future and like think, okay, what is it I'm like super excited about? What am I like going to do that's going to be like amazing and make my life valuable? And I'm like, wait a minute. No, I can live today, presently, knowing that the Father says, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And yeah, Jesus cared more kind of about the present than he did care about the future, in a sense of looking through anxiety and looking through how we pay attention to today. We care more about the future. Don't misread me. We care about the present more than the future. And it is in the midst of this that Jesus found the same peace that is communicated through relationship, through truth, that he held on to. Because of his relationship, he was able to flow out of that. He was able to actually go and preach the good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives. And he was able to go and do exactly what the Father would set him out to do. And so today, I think what we need to pay attention to most and focus on is the Father's voice. And so I encourage you guys, are you guys filling your mind with truth? Are you filling your mind with Jesus' words over you? Have you gone into your room and just spent time not playing great worship music, but actually just listening in silence, thinking about, what does the Lord say about me today? What does God want to do in my life through, I don't know, music or hockey or something like that? I think you can apply that very quickly to your situation, but if you think about the time that you spend with Jesus, you realize that that's only just a little bit of eternity. And if you don't develop a relationship with God right now, I wonder what it will be for the rest of eternity. And so, just like I said, Jesus caring about the present, just take some time to think about and hear from the Lord on what he says about us and what he says about you. So, as Justin kind of comes up, we're going to actually spend some time just spending time thinking about the Lord and think about what he says over us. Some of the questions I thought of was, what have you been believing about God and actually believing about God? Write it out. Put it down somewhere so you can look at it later and think, okay, am I believing this because I want it to be true? Am I believing this because I heard it loosely from somewhere, or is it because God says so? Is it because the most trusted person that I believe in is saying that over me? And is Jesus your focus? Where have you been trusting in his provision? How can you let down barriers to feel God's trust in you? So yeah, as we go into some worship, I encourage you guys to think on these things. And think about how Jesus sees worry, how he sees us, and how he cares for us. And just have a moment to spend with him, hearing what he says.